Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Arizona Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to services here from Lake Havasu City, Arizona. Let's praise the Lord this morning.
This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Celebrate the presence of the Lord. For he is worthy to be praised. Celebrate the presence of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. The Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Of the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Celebrate the presence of the Lord, he is worthy to be praised. Rejoice in the Lord.
Wanna see Jesus lifted high. We wanna see Jesus lifted high. Step by step, moving forward, little by little, taking ground. Every prayer's a powerful weapon. Strongholds come tumbling down and down, down and down. Wanna see Jesus lifted high. Banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know he is the way to heaven. We wanna see Jesus lifted high. Banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know he is the way to heaven. We wanna see Jesus lifted high. We wanna see, Wanna see Jesus lifted high. Step by step, moving forward, little by little, taking ground. Every prayer's a powerful weapon. Strongholds come tumbling down and down and down and down. Wanna see Jesus lifted high. Banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know He is the way to heaven.
More love, more power. This morning I'm going to read Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshippeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Therefore at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshippeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonied and rose up in haste and spake, and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their heads singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. That's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It shows men of faith. It shows God's faithfulness to those men. The best line for me, the best verse is verse 17 and 18. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They knew God would deliver them, whether through death or through life. God would deliver them, but they would never serve any God other than this God, our God. And then an important verse for me is verse 29. King Nebuchadnezzar recognizes there is only one God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. As a Christian, someone who takes on the name of Christ, we are no different than any other religion unless the power of God is manifest. And the power of God was manifest greatly in this story. How is it manifesting in your life?
Okay, let's see here. What's that, Sue?
Can I say one last thing?
Sure.
It was by their faith in Jesus Christ. Just by their faith
in God. They didn't know Jesus. They had faith in God. But if you go down to the end of that where it says, where Nebuchadnezzar is speaking, he says something about he takes care of those that trust in him. What's that verse?
Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God.
So we've been talking a lot about trusting God in the face of whatever, whatever it is, to trust God. And when you go back and you look through scripture, you see these extraordinary circumstances and the Lord's deliverance in those circumstances. And the key element through all of it is trusting God.
Amen.
It's trusting God. We continuously go back to that it's Jesus alone. It's only Jesus. If you add anything to it, you've now diluted it. It's not the same thing. It's no longer the gospel. And we as mankind want to earn or want to feel worthy, or we want that sort of ability to say that we've put some sort of contribution into it. The truth is that there is nothing we can contribute. Period. There's nothing we can contribute. They trusted God, and God delivered them. You know, the Bible says, at least in two places, that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted or imputed unto him for righteousness. That was it. He believed. He trusted. He believed God. and look at the miracles that were wrought through Abraham because he believed God. You can go back and look at Abraham's life, and it was a process for him to get where he got to go and take his only son, the son that by which the promise was going to be delivered, and take his only son up to sacrifice. But you read in the New Testament where it says that his faith, his trust and belief in God had gotten to the point where, because God said that the promise was through Isaac, that God would have to raise him from the dead. I mean, he had a trust in God that would not be shaken. And when we come to the Lord, we come to him all broken, don't we? I mean, most of the time, I mean, if you really come to God, I mean, I say really come to God. Let me try and explain. There are people that play Christianity, and there is a Christianity so-called out there that, and I, look, man, you want to talk about someone who can talk about it? I can talk about it because I was in it. I was it. So I know what I'm talking about. But there's a Christianity out there where people subscribe to, you know, they sign on the dotted line, but what they're buying isn't the gospel. What they're committing to isn't the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here's how you really know. You see, the beauty of the gospel comes when you realize that without Jesus, you were utterly and completely and totally without hope. The beauty of the gospel is that when you realize that and then you accept that gift and you believe God, now you have hope. And in order to cross that threshold, in order to really get it, you have to understand, you have to come to the grips and realization that you are in need of a Savior. You have to admit guilt. You have to admit to the fact that you are evil, that there's nothing good in you, and that without Christ, there is no hope. And what is preached out there for Christianity now is not that. It's not. They are telling you that you have some value to offer. You have some sort of thing to offer to supplement God's work. Let me tell you, you got nothing. You got absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. You can bring nothing to the table of any value to add to anything on your own. You just can't. You have nothing to offer. And the beauty of the gospel is that despite that, doesn't matter. Jesus, knowing that, completely and totally aware of your lack of ability to contribute anything, he still died for you. That is the beauty of the gospel. That's what's so miraculous. And when you can come to that place, then you can have a real conversion to Christ. You know, I've had some conversations with folks, and we've talked about, you know, the quote-unquote modern church and the, you know, where things are. And, you know, there's some churches out there that by design remove the cross out of their sanctuary because it's offensive. By design, they don't say the name of Jesus. By design, they don't talk about sin or repentance because it's offensive. Well, you know what? It's important to remember the cross. Amen. It's important to remember the name of Jesus, because it's by the name of Jesus you're saved. Not God, Jesus.
And it's important to remember repentance, because without repentance, there's no grace given. So if these things in the modern church by design, and I keep going to that because they have a handbook that they go by, and it's about building numbers and about building revenue, and it's about all manner of things that have nothing to do with God, nothing to do with Jesus, and nothing to do with the gospel. And people are flocking to this like moths to a flame because it's convenient to their flesh. See, when you come to the recognition and the realization that you have nothing that you can bring, nothing you can offer, that's a pretty destitute place. And if you stay there, it stinks. But the beauty is you don't have to stay there because Jesus says, I know. I know that. I know. And I shed my blood for you anyway. Here's my gift. You know, I'll defer to Steve, Brother Steve, on this, and I'm only going by what I've seen on TV. So, you know, how credible is that, right? But you see people, they come up to, they're in court, and they're going to plead out. You know, everybody wants to plead out, going to reduce sentence or whatever. And I've seen, you know, oftentimes or most every time that in order to get the reduced sentence, you have to admit guilt to the crime. You don't get to plead out unless you admit guilt. And maybe there's some circumstances that doesn't apply. Again, I'm going by just what I've seen on TV, right? Well, to receive the mercy of God, you have to be willing to admit your guilt. You have to be willing to do that. Because if you stand in any sense of personal self-justification, you're still saying you have something to offer, that it's really not your fault. You're really not guilty. Well, you are guilty. You're born into it. The Bible says, for all have sinned. All have come short of the glory of God. There is no exception to that rule. You are guilty. And the beauty of the gospel is Jesus loves you anyway. And the scripture I was thinking about this morning. Somebody's phone is chirping. Let's see. I'm going to go to Romans chapter 10. I'm going to start at verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. This is Paul speaking. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, just look at that for a moment. What else is there in that scripture? What other addendums are added to that? What other amendments where I don't see an asterisk that points me to a footnote that says there's 48 other things that I still yet have to do? Do you? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe with thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the beauty. You know why you call on him? Because you realize you need help. Peter, when he was falling in the water, what happened before Jesus reached out to grab him? He said, Lord, save me. He cried out to the Lord. You know what? The Lord was there. You know, you're reading about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had a trust in God before. I mean, they had predetermined they weren't going to worship that idol. It didn't matter what it meant. That's a form of calling on the Lord, guys. And when they were speaking to the king, and they were declaring their loyalty to God above all others, that's a form of calling on the Lord too. And what happened? The Lord showed up. And they were so convinced and so committed to God that whether they lived or whether they died, they still weren't going to worship that. And they understood that whether in death or in life, they were going to be delivered out from under his hand. What an amazing trust in God. Now I want you to look at your life. I don't know of any of us that are facing a fiery furnace. We face things, bills, you know, jobs, children, relationships. All pretty tame stuff compared to fiery furnace, den of lions. We could probably go on if we go back and look at a few. But you know, the same God that showed up for Daniel and showed up for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is the same God that'll show up for you if you call upon him. See, that's that act of humility that just says, I can't do it. Lord, help me. Man, he'll do it. He'll help you. You know, the next part of this is, I think it's a real challenge for those that do claim to be believers. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, there's a lot of people out there that have never really heard the gospel. They've heard the name Jesus, or they've heard about church, or they've heard about the Bible, or they heard all manner of things, but they haven't heard the gospel. If you have the gospel and you know the gospel, you have a very precious thing. One that is worth sharing. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good glad tidings of good things. I hope that you all abandon trust and hope in anything that would draw you away from Christ. And I pray that recognition of how desperately you need a Savior becomes real to you. And I pray that the fire of God get lit in all of us, with a recognition that there is nothing, nothing greater than serving Jesus and being part of his plan. And that's my prayer. I pray that for y'all, and I pray that for me, my family. Because one day, all of this stuff that people spend all their time trying to acquire, trying to get, trying to arrange, trying to, just all this chaff, it is going to burn up and be gone. It's just going to be gone. Poof. I really don't have much more to say, I guess. And I pray that the pure gospel get preached.
here I am once again. I pour out my heart, for I know that you hear every cry. You are listening. When I humble myself and submit to your word, you are faithful to answer with words that are true and a hope that is real. As I yield to your voice, you bring a freedom to all that's within, the safety of this place. I'm longing to pour out my heart to say that I love you. Pour out my heart to say that I need you. Pour out my heart to say that I'm thankful. Pour out my heart to say that you're wonderful. Here I am once again. I pour out my heart, for I know that you hear every cry. You are listening. When I humble myself and submit to your word, you are faithful to answer with words that are true and a hope that is real. As I yield to your voice, you bring a freedom to all that's within, the safety of this place. Longing to pour out my heart, say that I love you. Pour out my heart to say that I need you. Pour out my heart to say that I'm thankful. Pour out my heart to say that you're wonderful. Wonderful. Pour out my heart to say that I love you. Pour out my heart to say that I need you. Pour out my heart to say that I'm thankful. Pour out my heart to say that you're wonderful. Wonderful. Here I am once again. Pour out my heart, for I know that you hear every cry. You are listening. When I humble myself, submit to your word, you are faithful to answer with words that are true and a hope that is real. As I yield to your voice, you bring a freedom to all that's within, and the safety of this place. Longing to pour out my heart to say that I love you. Pour out my heart to say that I need you. Pour out my heart to say that I'm thankful. Pour out my heart to say that you're wonderful. Pour out my heart to say that I love you. Pour out my heart to say that I need you. Pour out my heart to say that I'm thankful. Pour out my heart to say that you're wonderful.
Listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.